This is April 29th, and the next meeting will be on May 27th, 1990, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Good morning.
I have said what we were going to share in the past, but under different circumstances, and so if the energy provides, there are two different sections that we'd like to cover today. The first one will feel very familiar to you, but I'd like to bring it into your focus yet again for those of you who might have forgotten it. And it goes something like this. Please understand that when you set out with the determination to find God realization, or to find your true self, or to become that which is your vastness, or however it is, to release yourself from the difficulties and the pains of the world and rest in the place of the God heart. However we talk about this process, when you begin this journey, it is very easy to delude yourself into thinking that it's a part-time job. And I think that one of the reasons all of you are still sitting here is because you still think it's a part-time job. And so I must remind you yet again, this is a full-time occupation. Now, for those of you who are married to people that are on this path, and they are perhaps, and you perhaps find this frightening to think of your spouse as having a full-time job occupation to find God, please understand that there are no prerequisites such as quitting one's job, such as leaving one's family and children behind, such as leaving whatever life you have and going to another way of being, another lifestyle, another place on the planet, whatever it might be. It is an inward statement of consciousness, and I honestly mean, as I look out, as I see the psyche of all of you and where it stands in position to your God self at the moment, in most cases that energy field is activated, meaning that you have been paying enough attention to it over the months and the years to have made it a very alive and viable possible experience in your totality, as a viable possible. Now, when people come all of the time, they say, I'm doing all of this, and yet I haven't reached, I'm getting discouraged. Is it real? Does it exist? And so then they fill themselves, which I think is very helpful, with accounts of people who have found it, who have found it totally, utterly, and completely, who have burst out of the delusion of pain and into the reality of love and peace and God awareness. And as they read this documentation of others from the past, it presents them again with the mental agreement, yes, I will go on. But by and large, my friends, that sense of failure, that sense of almost hopelessness, is it real? Is it going to happen? And even indeed, if it happens to others, is it possible that it will happen to me, which is, of course, the issue, has to again and again be addressed in the vaster sense. And today, I would like us, please, to move out of one realm of belief into another. When I say to you it is essential that you make this journey your vocation, that means that it has to carry the same intensity and awareness moment by moment as it was if you were going to, say, be approaching getting a medical degree and going into specialized brain surgery. Now, my friends, if you were going to become a brain surgeon, you would never say, well, I'll think of it occasionally during the day, and if I have time, I'll fit it in. I'll fit it in between my meditation and my chanting and my fasting, and I will probably someday become a doctor. You know full well, you would never become a doctor. So it is that coming to grip today, this day, that this is the job. It is the only job. There are no other jobs. There are no other occupations for the one who is going to win the glow of consciousness of God realization has to make up their mind and their heart to spend the day and the night in that very straight, purposeful approach to the goal. Now, I want to again emphasize this does not mean you stop doing all of the things that the world has asked of you to do. You truly do not change your life in any way. You do not leave this and approach that. You do not say no to this and no to that. You begin to change the inner awareness. All of seeking, my friends, if it's going to be done on an ongoing basis, seeking comes from the inner levels of awareness. It doesn't come from the ego base. My friends, in all good faith, I must tell you that many of you are using your egos to try to approach God. And as long as you are using what I would call ego energy, you're going to find yourself fluctuating between doing it and not doing it, throwing yourself into it and then pulling yourself back into it, remembering and then not remembering, caring and then not caring, being safe and then being harmful, in and out. Do you understand? Because the nature of ego energy, as we have said until you all want to scream, is that it has its polarity, and when you begin to talk about ego energy, you go from yes to no. You go from on to off. You go from I believe to I don't believe, from I want to I don't want. You move between those two spheres of consciousness. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, except it very greatly delays the moment of awakening. So if the goal can be felt in the heart, not in the ego base, but if the goal can be felt in the heart, then you are going to begin to use what we call the deeper strands of energy, which is the deep self, which is the God within, which is the light within, which is the pure conscious awareness, however you want to talk about it. So once again, my friends, we are in a sense back to where we have been so many times, but I hope that you will spend this day and perhaps even this entire week really asking yourself deeply if you are committed to this kind of quest. Because if you are not, then I would suggest that you become aware of what your real quest is, put all of your energy behind it, and make that a fruition for you. For example, if you really do want to pursue a married life or a life in a deep hierarchy of business, administration, or whatever it might be, I have no idea what all the different permutations of desire can be. But if there is something in there that is really waiting, if, for example, you truly want to be famous, I don't mean, television, but I mean within your community, within your own sense of self, if you really feel that you want to feel your own individual power, that you have the awareness and the ability to move with power in your world, in the outer world, not the spiritual world, then you have to take this into account and not fight against that. Now, when you have ruminated on this, and please do not make up your mind this hour, because you see, your ego says, oh, I heard that on Sunday, and I have decided. Yes, oh, of course I'm going after God, and that's the last time you will think about it. And I've warned you before, the ego's greatest tactic with you is when you hear something with your brain and with your mind, you say, ah, I understand. Oh, of course I understand. You know, my friends, the reason you come back and back again and again is only to keep reminding that part of you that needs to be reminded. That's all that you're doing. It's just to re-remember. When you go out into the world, for most of you, except those in very, very exclusive kind of so-called New Age jobs, you find yourself moving against what I would call the current of ego consciousness. And for all of you who are out in the public, whatever, whether they be this tall or very large or every size in between, when you are moving against what I would call the ego-based energy power of consciousness, it is very difficult to hold your ground. It is very difficult to hold your footing. It is very difficult to keep remembering as you stand there that whatever is going on is totally unimportant and isn't your job. It's not your job. Because you see, everybody says, it's your job, it's your job. So you have to be the one that gets deeply in touch with the awareness that says, yes, this is what I'm doing, this is the action that I'm performing, and to the outside world, this looks like my job, this isn't my job. My job is something that is going on within me every moment, and that is your choice and comes out of your own decision-making. So please, my friends, those of you that meditate regularly, I would ask you in the next week or whatever time frame it takes to really go within and address this question. Is this really what I want my job to be? Meaning, do I want to have most of my awareness focused on this job as I go through all of the rest of my life? As you approach deeper and deeper into that truth and being very, very honest with yourself, you will perhaps find it useful to have a notebook nearby, because the ego is very slippery. The ego is very slippery. For example, it can say things to you like, well, what I really want is a very wonderful love affair, but I intend to, when I get it, to use it for God realization. Did you hear what you said? You see, we have this little awareness we'd like to present to you about the trickiness of the ego. You know, one of the wonderful things about the North American Indian approach is, or any of those approaches that use such symbols as the trickster, such as the coyote and so on, the ego is incredibly tricky. And it has a very wonderful design that perhaps you have run encountered with it, which is that it changes its statement in order to fit whatever situation is going on. You see, if your ego kept saying, we have to have a love affair before we find God, you would not listen. But if it says, let us go and spend all of our awareness getting a love affair, because as soon as we have a love affair, then we're going to find God, then you say, oh, good, all right, love affair, let's go, let's find you, spend all of my awareness. And if you should encounter a love affair, because by the way, if you want one, believe me, doesn't it occur to you, with the millions of all of you, you know, milling around on this planet, if you want a love affair, you can have one. And if you don't have one, it's because you're going, yes, I want one, yes, I want one, yes, I want one, yes, I want one. Mm-hmm. I promise you, I don't care what your condition. If you want a love affair, I promise you, you can have one. But you have to take the, you know, eyes off and say, I'm ready to look, at least to scan the field of possibility. But you see, so many of you are like this, you see. Now, then we have other ways of looking at it. Now, the other one goes, now, look, I understand that to find God, I really need to have weeks and weeks of quiet time in some beautiful place. Oh, how about Esalen in California? Oh, and it's, what, $500 a week? So I have to wait until I assume all of this weighty material goods, until I have all this money, then I can go to Esalen and I can sit in that wonderful place and I will find God. Or even trickier, well, I have to go for 3 or 6 months and I have to go to the Himalayas, or I have to go endlessly. And now, please be aware that those are kind of blatant kind of ego messages. But when you begin, as I ask you deeply to do this week, to ask your ego, what are those messages that it's giving to you very quietly? Very quietly, almost sub rosa, all through your day and into your night. Ask that ego part of you that is the trickster to present itself so that you can hear deeply what it is that it is saying to you about this process. Because once you ask it to settle down and to dialogue with you, it will be able to do so. My friends, there's a very strange concept about ego. And I think it would also be helpful in this week if you would sit down and get a very deep grip on what your whole mental, emotional, and spiritual ideas are around this ego. Because as you refuse to address it, it just sits out on the parameters of your consciousness as some kind of a hidden enemy that has no name or shape or form, but it's always lurking behind the rocks to jump at you when you most don't expect it. What you need to do is to get in touch. What do you think the ego is? What do you think that it is? Not what do I think. Not what do the great books think. What do you think? What is it that is in your wonderful awareness that defines ego, and how is it defined, and how does it play in your life? And you say, well, I don't have any grasp on it. And I say, you don't have the grasp because you haven't sat down with the deep internal realization of saying, I want to see you. You know, if you want something to talk to, you have to say, would you mind coming here? You know, if a child is out in the playground, and as you begin to think of ego, I think you will get the sense of there is a childishness about ego. I didn't say childlike, which is a whole other concept of innocence. I'm talking about a childishness about ego, which has its delight in hiding from the big boys. And so it hides behind all kinds of false constructions. And when you sit down as the director of this drama, and say, all right, there's a person in this drama that I haven't really had a chance to interview. Ego, would you mind coming forward? Eventually, as you sit, it will begin, you'll begin to be filled with certain impressions. For example, even though you are not one who likes to doodle or to draw, or, you know, because after all, you know, when you were in the first grade, if you draw outside of the circle, then you're not an artist. You all know that. You know, the one who goes outside of the circle is not an artist, and we have to forget about that for the rest of your life. And of course, if you put it blue instead of green, then of course you have no color sense, and so you're finished for your whole life. You see, it's wonderful the way they encourage you in your young years. So, but the whole idea being, as you sit, you have, every one of you has the ability to image make. We go through this almost every time in some form or other, but the ability to image make is the human condition. People come to me and they say, I can't visualize. My friend, if you couldn't visualize, you wouldn't be doing anything. If you couldn't visualize, you wouldn't be breathing, you wouldn't be thinking, you wouldn't be dreaming, you wouldn't be walking, you wouldn't be acting, you wouldn't... The visualization process is what is to be who you are. Now, when you begin to understand that you have the image maker within you, that the image maker is that wonderful part of you that is also aligned with the God self and is always anxious to pop through into your outer world, when you really understand this, then you will begin to make images. You get caught because you have been trained that the basic images that you should work with are words. My friend, I told you this until you really get exasperated, and I don't blame you. The words are the last effective mode of communication. Those of you who choose to come to the couples workshop, do not come unless you are willing to drop your belief that it is your words that are going to join you to any beloved, whether the beloved be someone of your own peer group, or a little one, or an elder, or the whole world, or your whole life. It's going to be on another level, my friend. You do not form love affairs or communication with words. Have you noticed that? If you're paying close attention, when you have to sit down and talk about it, you are in trouble. When it gets to the place where you say, oh, we're going to have to sit down and talk about it, nobody goes, oh, wonderful, let's sit down and talk about it. You know, it's always this foreboding. Because that part of you that is the creative, dynamic, alive, aware part says, well, you missed all the other clues, so we'll have to use the only one left. All right? And the only one left is to talk about it. All right? Now, understand, when you begin to talk, you are coming out of a container of consciousness that is your very own. It is all of the word image-making awareness that you have created, and it is your own. And so you sit, metaphorically, in your great big tub of your own mental metaphors, ideas, beliefs, and you sit in yours, and there's a hot fire burning under. And then there's your friend over there, and they're sitting in their own little cauldron, and there's fire burning under both of those. And you're sitting there, and this water is bubbling up, it's getting hotter and hotter, and the heat's getting, and you're sitting there very calmly, and you're saying, we're going to talk about this. Now, the difficulty with this kind of approach is you are ignoring the fact that you are seated in your own little receptacle, and so are they, and in order to blend those two, you have only one way of communication, and that is through, please hear this, through a very small little stream that goes out of your mouth and surrounds them. Do you understand? Those of you who want to make changes, when you are in a particular room and something important is going to go on in that room, abandon all thought of talk. As you sit there deeply, you have to talk when you talk, but just sit there deeply and bring up out of the depth of that place where all of you are connected, which is the heart center, bring up that energy and bring it out into the room. Do it hour after hour after hour, whatever the process. The decision making is not made with that, do you understand, the slim line of power. Do you know how powerless that is? When you begin to deepen your psychic sense, which most of you are already doing very well on, but totally ignoring, it's wonderful. It's all happening and you're ignoring it. But nevertheless, it's delightful from this perception. You know, over these years, the centers are open. It's absolutely delightful. But when you begin to be aware of, when you are talking, does it not feel, if you are paying attention to how you feel when you talk, you are talking from this little place here. It's as if there's a little balloon way back in your throat, and you are just squishing out some kind of air, and it goes out, and the other person is to be impressed with it. The other person is going to say, oh, well, absolutely convinced of the rightness of your argument, my dear, and let's get out of these two hot pots and go do something a little more fun. No, it isn't going to be like that, because this kind of communication between is the least effective. So what is then the most effective? The most effective is, here we go again, is to begin to feel and remember the warmth and the power from the heart center, which is the God seat, which is the power of the pure conscious awareness, and to begin to move that in just a very quiet way out into the whole place. Everybody understand? Just quiet. And do what you do with your mouth. Do what you do in whatever way you need. But it's this deep awareness of allowing the one place where real joining is possible to be made maximum. The one place that you are joined is not in your ego. Your ego is as insular and isolated as any capsule ever created. It has as its function to keep you ever involved in looking at your own capsule. I've said this before, remember? You're seated in your little capsule of ego, and you're thinking these thoughts and so on, but because it's encapsulated, and because it's ego energy, it simply goes on around and around. You keep seeing yourself back ever and ever again. And you hope to communicate. It's as if you're trying to move through a fog and to really join someone else, or some situation, or some kind of a letting go. And when you keep pushing with the ego awareness, you cannot join. So rule number one and rule number 1,000,000 is the same, and everything in between. If you want to join, if you want to really have a joining of heart, so that truth of the deepest can be felt and seen and experienced, you have to go to the place where it joins. And that is, you just spend your awareness deeply and warmly, no matter what is going on, in the process of that energy going up and out. And in that kind of a moment, you will begin to understand, this is my job. This is my job. It isn't to say no. It isn't to say yes. You know, some people think that when you go to find God, you say yes to everybody. Somebody owes you $1,500, and they say, I don't want to pay it back. And you say, well, because I love God, I'll say no. Well, that's one approach. But ask yourself, is that what everything means? Does it mean that, or does it mean something different? Does it mean that you have to find that place in your heart that says, we will do what we need to do around the money, and my job is to have this wonderful warmth of love and power moving towards you every time I think about you. The job is to realize that whatever the situation outside, whether it be money or romance or power or housing or social amenities, whatever it might be, are not your job. The job is not to worry about the money. The job is to worry about the warmth in your heart. That's the job. And every moment when you realize how simple it is, the simplest thing is to just remember the warmth in the heart is what matters. And when you find yourself not in the warmth of the heart, but out in the world, out trying to decide how to do it right, when you finally understand that that is where all of your energy is moving most of the time, you begin to understand how simple is your job. And when you begin to see and feel the simplicity of it, everything outside becomes so much more enjoyable. Because you see, my friends, I have to be frank with you. As long as you are moving between the two ego bases, you are never out of stress. You are always in stress. You are always moving between, am I going to do it right? Have I done it right? If you would pay attention to your minds, they go between two points. Did I do it right? That's the past. Am I going to do it right? That's the future. And as you move between these two polarities, if you would get very quiet and realize how much of the time is spent in that tremendous tension between those two terribly variable, almost chaotic points of consciousness, and try somehow, which so many of you want to do, is to be obedient, to get it right, so that you don't get in trouble, so that you don't get, you know, whatever your past might bring up. When you realize that that is the tension, that you have to move away from that tension in order to rest in your job. Your job is not to decide future or past. Your job is to say, all right, when it comes up, I'll be there. You know, my friends, you will be there in your future when it comes. You know, I know that a lot of you really doubt this because you spend so much of your time, you see, getting ready for the future, and you see, by the time, there you are. Now, the interesting thing is, and please understand the humor with which we say this, when many of you get there, you're not there either. Because you see, it's here and now is the moment, and we have this big thing that's about to happen, and everybody's ready and so on. And then, are you paying attention? No, you worry about the next. Well, what am I going to say? And as they're speaking, you're in the future. You're already not here. You're not present. Now, my friends, all of this is only to keep you out of being alive and feeling and conscious in the moment. Now, why? If God and you and consciousness have only one place to meet and merge, which is this moment, then why do you have this tactic?
Why have you, as an entire race, built this tactic? It is because, my friends, you have been trained to believe that being in this moment is going to be so excruciatingly awful that you have to keep running. You believe that this moment is filled with nothing but your ego decision choices. You believe that this moment is nothing but a coming together of all of your past, of all of the amassed past, not only of your life, but of your country, of the planet, and so on. You believe that with all of your being, and it is not true. Because of this fear that the moment holds such pain, that it holds nothing but the past, because you honestly have been trained to believe that, you do not take the final step to consciousness, which is to test that theory, which is to stop dead in the moment and feel it exactly as it is. I have told you this. If you want to find your innocence, whatever else you are doing, you must, you absolutely must find some time every day to sit quietly with no energy impact on you but your own energy field, and you have to say, who's here? Who's here? Not listening to the faces that say, well, you're this and you're that and you've done this and you're going to do that, but just you. Just you. Just you. Who's here? Who's here? When you begin to do this moment after moment in whatever way your life is moving, when you begin to actually realize what the whole struggle has always been about, which is to slow down and stop, when you understand that, then that gentle awakening begins to happen when you are absolutely determined to stop running. Where are you going? Where are you going, my friends? Where are you going? You are moving so fast because many of you are running from your past. Because the past was painful. The supposition is the present will be painful. And the supposition is then that the future will be painful. And so the psyche has come up with this little way of avoiding, which is just keep moving. Many of you come into the field of addiction and you say, why? You're just running. Just running. So afraid. And then the addictive pattern itself becomes something to run from. There is a time when it helps, and then there's a time when it absolutely hinders. And there you are. What is the way out of the circle? I have told you all since you began, you're all addicted to something. So, don't look at your neighbor. Perhaps you should look inside. What is your own particular way of running? way of running from this moment that is inevitable. Why are you afraid to die? Well, with all due respect for all the other reasons, it is because you know that something is going to stop. Something is going to stop. You can't run anymore. In fact, many of you who work with the dying, please do your best to bring this into the consciousness. Are you afraid of that moment when all stops and there's just something? Help them. Help them. Many of you and many people all over the globe put themselves into very difficult situations, hospital beds, so they will stop. But then can they? Oh no, because now they have a television. Have you noticed? There's a television in every room. If you want to rabble-rouse against something, would you rabble-rouse against that? If you want to sign petitions, would you sign a petition that says that a hospital patient has the right to not watch the television 24 hours a day? Would you? I'm being quite serious. Because you see, what's happened is so many have gone into these states of difficulty so that they can stop whatever's going on outside, give them a chance to go within, and there's the universal mandala blaring off of the wall, you see, day and night and day and night, where then comes the chance to get very simple and go within. Now, a side effect of this, and watch it carefully, and many of you in the so-called New Age, I would be fascinated to see a corollary of how many of you end up in hospital as contrasted to what we would call the mainstream consciousness. And my awareness would tell me that you go less often because it doesn't work anymore. Because the reason that many of you went into those stress states doesn't work anymore. Because now a hospital is very different. You don't have all of those lonely hours of introspection. Things are very different. First of all, the drug-induced states and this and this and this. So, because you have as your desire to become awakened, you say, I'm not going that way. Now, you may say it's because you have no health insurance. And you're smart, you see, because if you lock that door, if you lock the door, you see, the psyche is smart. The psyche is very intelligent. And if you know that you don't have health insurance, it's very unlikely that you're going to accumulate a $100,000 debt because, you see, you're the one that's doing all this. And you're not going to say, oh, that sounds like fun. That would be just delightful. So the part of you that is the creative wonder in this whole process, the dynamic, does that mean everyone who goes in the hospital goes for this reason? Of course not. We're generalizing for this group, and I hope you understand what I'm saying here. But the awareness that knows, now you have to pick other things. But watch what you're picking as a group. You get fired. You lose your jobs. Over and over again, I see. They come and they say, I was perfectly competent and I lost my job. Well, what are you going to do? Well, I guess I'll just have to think about it for 6 weeks. Yes. And what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to live on, what is that called, unemployment insurance. And then I will make up my mind. Again and again, people come to tremendous inner awakenings through these kinds of situations. I'm asking you to be alive to the creative dynamic power of all of this. But to become simplified once again, my friends, as you become aware, moment to moment, that there is only one job, only one occupation in each moment, whatever it might be, you are going to begin to structure your day and your life to make that maximum. You are going to find ways without hurting other people, without pulling away, without removing deep love affairs and deep commitments to patterns of life, which are all extremely important. You're going to find a way in the midst of all of that to do your job. To do that which is your only job. And so when you have the question of two alternatives, you don't say which is right and which is wrong. You say which is going to bring me closer to the fruition of what is my life job. And then things become much simpler. When it is not a question of do I please other people or do I please myself, which is how many of you formulate the question now, you change the question a bit that says, I want to please us both. I want to move from that warm space of awareness within me, and at the same time, I remember within me that the reason that I rise in the morning and the reason that I breathe each breath is to come to the knowing of who I really am. And with that as the guidepost, You begin to find new, exciting ways, or, and this is extremely important for guilt-based society, which is what most of you are. I realize there are two words interchangeable. Some say shame, some say guilt. Use whichever pleases. But most of you arise from that kind of a base. Realize that the difficulty here is that you honestly feel that to pursue something so wonderful as bliss is somehow wrong. You know what they say to you? Do you think they ever say, you know, why did they get the priesthood going and the nuns? Because they could say, my job is to find God, and if you don't like it, too bad. Well, you try that. You try that, getting up in the morning with six children and a wife or a husband and a job. And, well, my job is to find God, and it's too bad. I'm going to do today whatever I need to do to find God. It's not acceptable. Finding God as a vocation is not acceptable unless you find yourself in one of those isolated communities who have been given the job of finding God for the planet. They have been given the job to find God for the rest of you while you do your work. While you do your job, they find God. Now, I think that is an old and archaic way of looking at things. And I really suggest to you that you don't need to fall into that belief structure. But it's going to take groups like this over the next years to have as a valid vocation in life the raising of your consciousness. And not having to make excuses to your parents, to your friends, to your family, but most of all to yourself. So many of you beautiful people come to me and you say, I really feel that an hour meditation every morning just changes everything for me. It puts me in a position where I can be in motion with the God self. I feel the warmth and the light and the beauty, but I feel badly because there's so many things in the world that need to be done. You know, there's all of Ethiopia, there's the planet, there's the difficulties in my town, there's the difficulties in my little village, there's always difficulties. And they come, and you come with the sorrow that says, is this valid? I'm asking you as the outriders of a new way of thinking to understand that this is where you have to stand firmly. I do not mean you yell and scream and tell other people. It's really not their business. It's your business. But to begin to know that this is the bona fide, absolutely legitimate approach to your whole life. And you don't have to go around making excuses mostly to yourself. For example, some of you are moving so fast. Many of you in this room do what is called the Course in Miracles. I can see by the thought pattern. It's interesting because the different pursuits produce different patternings. They're no better and no less. Let's get that clear very, 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 very quickly. There are no better, no worse patterns. They're just different. But as I see that is here, now, many of you have that as your base. And yet, when the Course, as I understand it does, says stop every hour for 5 minutes, ask yourself when you don't stop, why not? Is it because you are moving toward this goal, which is to finish this filling out of this paper, or whatever it might be, or the telephone, or I don't know what it might be doing? Is it because the thing that is valid for you is the job, the outside job, the filling in of the paper, the typewriting, or the whatever it might be, and this is the invalid? Is it because this is the lesser? My friends, if it was your responsibility every five minutes of every hour to go in and check on the well-being of a friend of yours, you would be there every 5 minutes on the hour without exception. And you would say to anyone outside, excuse me, I have to go do my main job, which is to go and do this. And that's acceptable. But when you say, excuse me, but I have to have 5 minutes by myself, it is not acceptable. I'm asking you deeply to look at your patterns among each other and to realize that you have, the reason it's structured is you are moving so fast because you want to move so fast. It is because there is something chasing you. And the thing that's chasing you is your past. And you are afraid it's going to catch up with you if you stop. And when you start to deeply look, as many of you have begun to do, at the death moment, not because you're ready to die, but just because it's an obvious, intelligent question, you see, my, I wonder if I'm ever going to die. You know, I don't see any of you ever stumbling over that question. Am I ever going to die? It's obvious you are going to die. So the intelligent one says, it's a reality. Let me understand it as best I can, even though I may be 23. You know, it could happen at any time. When you begin to move deeper and deeper into your understanding of why the fear arises in consciousness over death, you will find it very simple. And one of the simplicities is everything's going to catch up with you. It's as simple as that. All of the past, which you have been running away from in every way you can, both holy and unholy, whatever that means to you, and you each have your list, believe me, is going to catch up with you in the last moment, and you'll have nothing to do but stop. That is what propels people, my friend, into moving endlessly moment to moment. So I would like to ask you to reconsider something. This is a new concept for some of you, but please, let's go through it. Every night of your life, you move from being awake to falling into sleep into some kind of a space in consciousness that you do not recall when you awaken. Is that not true? Hours and hours of your so-called sleep state, you are not awake, you are not dreaming, but when you wake up in the morning, do you say, I wonder if I'm here? I wonder if I'm the same I that went to bed last night, or is there a new I here? Do you ever say that? You might say, oh my God, why am I here? Or you might say, oh my God, I wish I were here. But I do not think you ever spend any moment asking, am I here? Now, this is probably one of the more important things I'm going to say in our remaining years together. That state that you delight in and absolutely look forward to every night of your life is the closest thing you have to pure conscious awareness. And are you afraid of it? Does it give you nightmares? Does it give you trouble? Or does it give you deep, deep relaxation? Do they not find when you are in that deep state, when you slip through all, you know, all these wonderful machines? Remember I told you, you know, God loves the scientists as well. You know, it's no favorites here. And all these scientists are wonderful. They're getting deeper and deeper. They're magnificent into these truths. And they have you all wired up and so on. And they find now that they have all these states. Now, when you begin to become aware that there is a very definite state that you call deep sleep, whatever you want to call it, that doesn't have the up and down, and has no name, it has no shape, it has no form, it has no words. What is that? What is that? And why do they tell you that when you do not have that, you will not only become despondent and depressed, but also want to take your life and leave this planet? Why? What is that? Now, those of you that have been patient with this for these, 12 and a half years, however long, remember one of the first things we ever shared was every night of your life, when you slip back down into source, past dream, past deep dream, past through all those stages, and you rest, you go back into and rest your pure conscious awareness in the source from which everything arises. And it is that resting in your God self which gives you the courage to live another day. With the deepest of honesty in your heart, not only for your life, but for the lives of so many people on this planet, does it not occur to you to deeply question why, day after day, people choose to rise up and face another day of the same? Where comes this courage? Where comes this strength? Where? Does it come from your dreams? Does it come from your daily life? Where does it come from? And why is it that you awaken, rejuvenated in some way, with a statement that was something like, I'm ready? It is that state, my friends, that I'm asking you to put your awareness on. Those of you who are afraid to stop and drop into the moment, I want you to understand that when you stop in the moment, that is the state that is present. That is the state that is in this moment when your mind is not making trouble. When your mind is making trouble, or maybe let's not call it trouble, when your mind is changing things, ever-changing, keeping the pattern of change ever before you, when you are distracted by thought and emotion, then you see thought and emotion. But please understand, my friends, the moment is made up of that space. Scotty, do you hear? It's made up of that space. Any fear you have of that space, I ask you in the next weeks and months to contrast to your experience, not your dreams, not what you've heard from other people, not ideas, but your experience. Every night of your life, you merge with the God Self, and you come out exhilarated, or at least courageous, rested in some way, willing, abundantly ready for something. Why? Why? Because you return to God every night of your life. And it is in that returning that the awakening and the hope and the expansion is made possible. You cannot live on the hope of your life as your external world presents it to you, or your dream world, which can be filled with difficulties. I'm asking you to dwell on for the rest of your life the knowing that that amazingly wondrous state that you yearn to reach every night of your life is what is present in the moment when you shut up and pay attention. When you stop running your mind and your emotion and just be willing to stop and be present. That's God. You're running from a figment. You are running from a projection of other people's ideas that come out of the ego base of good and bad. And that has got nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with God. And every night of your life you prove it. Why do you bother to come on a day like this, to a place like this? Because you know, every night you remember, every night of your life you remember. And some of you who come to things like this, all of a sudden, a part of you awakens and says, wait a minute, I want that all my life. I want it during my waking. I want it during my dream. I want it during my deep sleep. I want it all the time. That's why you're here. Not to find it. Not to create it. But to make the choice to feel it. And where do you feel it? You feel it in this moment when you drop to the heat, to the heart, and stop and turn your awareness toward what we have just shared. There is a state of consciousness that is God awakened, that is in you and alive in you every moment of your day and your night. And it renews you and gives you peace every night of your life. When name, shape, form, color, symbol, all cease, which happens to you every night, what remains is God. Please, closer than hands and feet, totally available to you every moment of your life, just stop and wait. Just stop and look. Just stop and ask. Just be willing to live your life as this, as the main thing for every moment of your day. It is a state that is ever present. And you find it in the moment. When you have decided to control your thought and immerse yourself in what is ever present in this moment. Closer than hands and feet. Now.
I'm very, very grateful to you all. I would like to say again, I see so many of you that have been here for so long. I thank you. I thank you. You know, without you, things would be so much slower. Change would be so much later in coming. Everyone is putting so much emphasis on the negative change. Oh, my friends, please. Please. Don't fall into the polarity of negative and positive change. Let it happen. Whatever happens, let it happen. Just remember, the deep self, which I have called from the very first, is ever present. So, find it, experience it, and be free.